Amen, amen. Good morning. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you hear the words of your afflicted children, that you hear our cries, Father, and that you defend the oppressed. We thank you, Lord, for this book of prayers, the Psalms, that were breathed into existence by your Holy Spirit through all the writers. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be envious of the wicked, for they will be judged as well. I pray you will anoint this message and everyone with ears to hear it, Lord. We thank you for your eternal promise and for all your blessings in our lives. Amen. I want to start with a Martin Luther quote. Amen. Martin Luther once said, "There is not, in my judgment, a psalm which describes the mind, the manners, the works, the words, and the feelings, and the fate of the ungodly with so much propriety, fullness, and light as Psalms 10. Today my sermon is Breaking the Arm of the Wicked on Psalms 10. Amen? All right. Here we go. Just a little overview of the Psalms so everyone understands. Make sure everyone understands. The Psalms have the most chapters of any book in the Bible. Amen? And it's also the Old Testament book that's most quoted by New Testament writers. So, very important book. Amen? 73 of the Psalms are associated with King David, and 51 of the Psalms do not have an author. So, of which this is one, but we think it very well could have been David that wrote this Psalm. Psalms 10 is a cry of the heart. It's not crying for himself, though, but it's crying for others, crying for the poor and crying for the afflicted. And that's what this psalm's about. He's crying for the people that are so easy to ignore, you know, the homeless, the sick, the lost, just the people that are so easy to ignore each and every day. So this prayer is just as effective today as it ever has been. Amen? He's expressing the heart of God for other people in this song. The first thing he starts off with, though, is a question. And in the first verse he says, Why, Lord, do you stand so far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Sounds kind of rude, right? Why, Lord, are you just standing off and hiding yourself? Amen? But do you ever ask the Lord that? Do you ever ask him, why is he allowing these things to happen, or why does he stand so far off in our troubles? But we have to remember to trust in the Lord's will, and we have to remember to be patient, because God's timing is always perfect, and sometimes we just don't see it. In hindsight, it's 20/20, right? But there are so many times that people blame things on God. You know, it's not just about his timing, but a lot of times people blame all the problems in their lives on God. But this is a fallen world, and we live lives of free will. So, you know, we shouldn't blame God for our problems. The Bible shows us many stories of injustice of the faithful. So it's not just us. There's been many people, many very anointed and godly people in history that have seen injustice. We read about John the Baptist, who was beheaded at the command of a man in a high position, and a drunk man at that, at the time of his beheading. And we read how Elijah was miraculously fed through ravens and angels while fighting against the nation's honored deceiver Jezebel. And surely we have read about Jesus Christ, who was so unjustly persecuted, ridiculed, betrayed, and put to shame at the urgings of religious leaders of the time. Amen? So how can we say that it's because of God's goodness? How can we call it God's goodness that the wicked prosper while the godly die unjustly? It's God's grace for the wicked. God's grace for the wicked is for salvation. We got to keep in mind that the Lord's will is for all men to be saved, all men, and to come to a full knowledge of the truth. So, Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." don't know about you, but I'm sure glad that God didn't decide to give me my final judgment when I was still running the streets. Amen. And when I was doing my thing, you know. That's what we got to remember when we ask God, why do you allow these evil things to happen? Why do you allow these people to prosper? You know, God may just be giving them a little more time to get right. Get right with the Lord, amen? We're all born natural into the love of the world. Into those selfish and wrong desires which we see so often manifested in our children who were never even taught these things. You know, we're born into sin. Thanks to Adam and Eve, we are all born into sin. Amen? Everyone who becomes a Christian must be born again. Born again by learning the truth of the Word, by learning the truth of the Holy Land, of heaven, and by living according to them. That's how we're born again. By the renewing of our minds. Amen? God has done everything He possibly can to keep us out of hell. And still leave you as a person with free will. He doesn't want a bunch of robots walking around. Right? Now, some Christians say otherwise. Some say that, in fact, it's God who sends people to hell. Peculiar Pilgrim blog writes, "No one would choose to go into hell. Not one person would decide to an eternity of flaming torment over an eternity of heavenly bliss." Amen? We don't pick that. We don't choose to go there, right? But a lot of times people fall away from the church, or they even, or even worse, they despise God altogether because of something difficult that seems unfair happening to them, and then they ask God, why did He allow this stuff to happen? But we know God always works everything for the good of those who love Him. Amen? And God's got a plan. So let me go to verses 2 through 11. Okay, verses 2 through 11, the psalmist goes into a lengthy description of the wicked. Okay, starts to describe the wicked of the time. In verse 2 it says, "In his arrogance the wicked man hunts down the weak who are caught in the schemes he devises." Now the wicked usually pursue the righteous. It's always been that way. The wicked are always pursuing the righteous. They usually persecute, kill, and defame them. It says, "Let them be caught in the schemes he devises." So, sooner or later, the Bible says that these evil men are going to set a snare for themselves. And they're going to get caught up. Which is what we used to call it. Caught up, right? I can remember back in the days before my second birth, amen? We would always be envious of the drug dealers, the big drug dealers that were making all the money and they had all the cars. And they seemed to have it all. they seem to be untouchable, right? And then you would hear that so-and-so got 20 years for possession, or even worse, so-and-so was shot and killed. They got caught in the schemes of their own devices. So you see, sooner or later, the wicked will get caught. Now, it might not happen when we think it should. God's timing. But ultimately, we have to trust the Lord because He knows. And He has a plan. Amen? And then verse 3 says, "He boasts about the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord." So most of the wicked people boast about what they do. We see it on TV. We see it on social media. You know, they think they're the king of the world. And they don't want... A lot of these people don't have anything to do with God. Most of them are just after money and fame. And a lot of times they curse the Lord in the midst of their greed, you know. And that pride's a monster. That's what we say in Celebrate Recovery. Amen? Pride is a monster. But verse 4 also says, Verse 4 says, "In his pride the wicked man does not seek God. In all his thoughts there is no room for God." Isn't this so true? Most of the world thinks that if you believe in the Bible and you believe in God, you're a fool. A lot of the world thinks that. But the Bible says the opposite. The Bible says that that if you, well, they say if you believe in God, you're a fool. And the Bible says that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So it's the exact opposite. Even when they know there is one, they say there is no God. So, you know, it takes a lot of faith to deny God. It takes a lot more faith to deny God than, you know, do you realize how much work it takes to deny God who created you as you live in a world that was created by God? That's a lot. It takes a lot of work to deny that when God is the creator of, has created you in his image and created the world that you live in. So in verse 5, it also says, his ways are always prosperous. And it sure seems that way, doesn't it? It seems that the evil's ways are always prosperous. But in the end, they do not prosper because there will be a judgment for each and every one of us. There will be judgment. It then says that your laws are rejected by him. He sneers at his enemies. A Charles Spurgeon quote says, because God does not immediately visit every sin with punishment, ungodly men do not see that in due time God will judge all the earth. So the wicked forget that judgment is imminent, and it's almost here for all of us. We will be judged. We will all be judged. America will be judged. People will all be judged. That's right. The great white throne judgment is imminent. Amen. Verse 6 says to himself, he says to himself, nothing will ever shake me. He swears no one will ever do me harm. The wicked think as long as they're successful and appear to be winning, nothing will ever happen to them. But we are all going to expire. We're all going to face judgment. Eternal judgment. Amen? Verse 7 says, his mouth is full of lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. Much unlike those who are saved, the wicked will tell lies and make threats to get what they want. We all know that, right? Now, verses 8, 9, and 10 talk about how the wicked are going to crush and ambush the innocent and the helpless. So most people try to hide their wickedness, but they can't hide it from God. You can't hide your wickedness from God. Amen? Verse 11, he says to himself, God will never notice. He covers his face and never sees. Talking about the evil person again. But even when they hide, God sees the heart, and God does not forget. God sees the heart. God knows what they're thinking and what they're doing. Amen? They can hide as much as they want. But this is a sustained description of the characters of the wicked, okay? This is all just the psalmist describing the wicked. So that there's no doubt that this prayer is all about wicked and evil that is coming in like a flood. Then in verse 12, he calls upon the Lord to take action, okay? So now he's changing gears, and now he's saying, he's calling upon the Lord to take action. He says, arise, Lord, lift up your hand, O God, do not forget the helpless. He's saying, get up and help with this situation that's gotten so out of control. He's also saying, don't forget the helpless. It's so easy to forget the helpless in society today. And that's why we have so many ministries and outreaches and that we get involved with, because the helpless need our help. We need to be, we may be the only God they see today or ever. And then in verse 15, he asked the Lord to break the arm of the wicked. Okay, so now he started to tell the Lord what he wants him to do, right? Break the arm of the wicked. Now, whenever the Bible speaks of the arm of something, it's speaking of the strength or the power. He's talking about breaking the strength or the power of the wicked so that they... so that they'll lay off the oppressed. Amen? Amen? So the psalmist is calling upon the Lord to stop the ongoing damage that is being done by the wicked. Basically, is what he's doing here. So you'll notice that this psalm, like many others, ends with a declaration of faith. And that's what I'm trying to get to here. In verses 17 and 18 is where he starts to tell the Lord, you will hear the desire of the afflicted. You will encourage them and listen to their cry. You will defend the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man will never strike terror on the good people again. Now, this is the important part, okay? Did the psalmist see a change that caused him to switch his tune from the first verse to the 15th verse? Did he begin praying and God answered his prayers in the middle of it? I doubt it. I don't think so. We believe that he was still waiting. He was still waiting on the Lord to move. But even when he is saying what he's saying, he felt like the Lord is far off. But yet he's saying it because he's starting to use the language of faith. He's explained what he wants and what's going on. And now he's starting to use the language of faith. And in faith, he's asking the Lord to do these things. So we all need to work on this in our own prayers. Amen? In order for our prayers to be strong and our prayers to be fruitful, we need to have that same faith in our prayers. Amen? We're very good at complaining and telling God how lousy our situation is. And we're very good at telling God what we wanted to do about it, right? But because that's how we feel. But let's not live there, okay? That's what we're trying to say here. Let's express it to the Lord, but then we got to come back and say words of faith. Faith-based knowledge of God and His name and a knowledge of His promises. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now glory be to God who by His mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes." So, what we are not so good at is declaring our faith in our prayers, okay? Like the psalmist does over and over again in these prayers. And you know why we don't do it? You know why we don't use that faith? Because we don't feel like it. A lot of times we just don't feel it. In society today, we act on our feelings a lot of times. Instead of faith. Now, I believe the psalmist understood that faith has nothing to do with feelings. Your faith should have nothing to do with your feelings. That's where a lot of us fail in our prayers, by not speaking what we don't feel. Or as Pastor Rick called it last week, praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Or approaching the throne of grace on God's terms, not on our terms. When we pray, we should be approaching God on His terms, not on ours. Amen? So we say things like, you know, I'm just not feeling it today, you know, or we'll say, or we're still lazy today, and we don't want to go to church. We don't feel like getting out of the house and stay home. Our faith should be steadfast through all circumstances. We should praise God in the light and in the darkness. When we're tired, whatever, we should still continue to praise God and continue to go to church. And that's why the language changes between the beginning of the psalm and the end of the psalm, because the language of faith starts to be expressed fully in verse 16. And this happens when the eyes of the heart are given the opportunity to gaze upon the character of God and His promises. And if we don't take the time to do this in the midst of our discouragement, we won't draw on that faith and it'll just get worse. So we got to remember to take the time to trust in our faith in the Lord. Amen? We cannot allow the hopelessness to fester in our hearts and minds. We must focus on God's promises and ask Him to give us strength. One of the best examples of steadfast faith in love through adversity that I can think of is a mother's unconditional love for her addicted children. And this kind of hit home for me. You know, in my life, you know, and a lot of addicts out there, you know, everybody, the world gives up on them, you know. And it seems a lot of times that the mother is the only one that does not give up on her children, you know. And thanks be to God for my mom that she didn't give up on me. But we see that a lot, you know. And that's the kind of steadfast faith that we need to have in our prayers, the faith that a mother has for her addicted child, that she knows that God's gonna take care of it. God's gonna heal her kid, her son or her daughter, or whoever it may be. That's the kind of steadfast faith and love that I'm talking about, you know. And we see a lot of that in our church here, you know. A lot of mothers that have done that, or even grandmothers that are doing the same thing. Amen. Second Thessalonians 2:16. There it is. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father encourage you in every good thing you do and say. God loved us and through His grace He gave us a good hope and encouragement that continues on forever. And what is the greatest way to be encouraged and strengthened by the Father? Anybody? Through His Word. Amen? Through His Word. We should have so much hope in the Lord, and that hope is rejuvenated by spending time in the Word and focusing on His character and His promises. This hope leads to faith that God knows my pain. God sees my tears and God hears my prayers. God knows how challenging this life is, and He will not just sit there while I'm in pain. I came across this article that I want to share with everyone. Don't know the author. Oh, there it is. Okay. It says, I know what it's like to go through dark times and to be so fearful that it's hard to pray. But I've also learned how eager and able our God is to comfort and strengthen us during our difficult times. I've discovered that one of the ways we can tap into His supernatural power and peace is to meditate on His character. And this is something that greatly pleases the Lord, because He told the prophet Jeremiah, let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me and that I am the Lord. Meditating on scriptures that speak of God's character can give us deeper insights into His divine nature that will enable us to know Him more intimately and to trust Him more fully, even in desperate times. Amen? So basically what it's saying is that those who know the Lord more fully will trust Him more fully. And in doing so, our prayers will be more faithful. Amen? We can boldly ask Him to give our prayers that element of faith. Ask Him to give our prayers the element of faith. We are so good at telling God what we need and complaining about how difficult our lives are. But let's ask God when we pray to help us to add that element of faith that knows Him and trusts Him, and that will make all things right if we surrender to His will and trust in His Word. There's such an importance here to knowing the Lord and to knowing His Word that I encourage you, as you read the Bible, to highlight verses where God speaks about His character, who He is, how He deals with mankind, and also how He speaks of His attributes. You could even make a list, okay? And then when difficult times arise, you can go back and meditate on these verses or think deeply about what they mean or pray on them. Write down things that can help you in your current situation. Start a whole prayer book, right? I want to leave you with my devotion from this morning. Miraculously has a lot to do with my sermon, right? Wow! Amen. Thank you, Jesus, right? It says, He sustains. On the glorious splendor of Your majesty and on Your wonderful works, I will meditate. Psalms 145:5. Have you experienced the amazing, sustaining power of God's awesome presence? Have you waited before Him in silence, meditating on His strength, greatness, wisdom, and majesty? Have you learned how important it is to spend still, quiet moments before Him to give you strength for today and hope for tomorrow? This is why David remains strong in every circumstance of life. No matter what happened, because of his abiding relationship with God throughout his life, David was able to cope with the extremely challenging and heartbreaking situations he faced because he experienced the power of being in the Father's presence daily. Amen? He wrote, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. Psalms 145. So today, focus on Christ. Discover who He is and how much He loves you. Through uninterrupted times of sitting before Him, He will strengthen you, help you overcome, mature your faith, and use the trials you are experiencing for good. And that's exactly what you need to keep going. Jesus, help us to focus on You so we can experience Your sustaining power. Amen.